Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a blessed weekend, opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day with your family, your loved ones, your parish community. Friends, I can't underline enough how important the Eucharist is, especially at this time. I mean, it's kind of redundant and obvious. I mean, it is the source and summit of our faith. It is the high point of living and communing together as Catholics. As we gather around the table of the Lord, we hear His word proclaimed to us, and we receive His body and blood. We confess our sins. We bow our knee. We celebrate. We give thanks. Heaven is opened for our sake, for the sake of our salvation. We're able to be united most fully with those who died in the Lord, the communion of saints, the brothers and sisters who are in purgatory that we continue to pray for and offer graces for. So it's spectacularly beautiful and extraordinary in every way. But it also is a profound teaching. It's not just an experience and a profound, genuine spiritual experience and a work of the people of God. That we, the people of God, it's a spiritual work we're doing there. We're participating and we're giving to God what belongs to God. That's very, very important for us to do. And it is the plan of our Lord Jesus Christ that until He comes again in glory, He has assured that there will be a perfect offering made from this earth, from this planet, from human beings made in the image of God, who are born again by water and the Spirit, who have the heart of Jesus, imperfect, broken people, but those who have the Spirit of God are gathered together around the perfect offering that was made and was really should have been present throughout human history, but because of the fall, because of original sin and the like, and the battle of the kingdom of darkness and light, and all that we know happened, Jesus came, took on human flesh, and gave to God the Father what belongs to Him from human flesh, you could say, to give to God what belongs to God, to do justice to God, to make our lives an offering to God. And so this work that we do as the people of God, where we give to God what belongs to God, we gather, we worship, we offer our lives, and we do it in communion, and we fully participate in this action, Jesus established this so that not only we could live and receive the grace we need to walk out our faith and to be more fully conformed to Jesus, to be the communion, the people of God in the earth, and to extend the kingdom in the world, all of that is profoundly true, but also that we could see with our eyes, hear with our ears, receive encouragement in the Holy Spirit to understand what is the meaning of human life? Where do we find the greatest good, the greatest, what is the greatest way to live, you might say? What's the most fulfilling, not just emotionally fulfilling, but in the sense of objectively right way to live, to express the fullness of the good life in this world, and to be able to reach fulfillment as human beings? And right there, the Lord Himself is teaching us, because the deed which saved us, that act of love through which the human race can receive salvation, Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus speaks to us. And He's telling us, He's showing us, this is the way. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. This is the way to human freedom. This is the way to human ultimate fulfillment. This is a way to express the fullness of your identity. This is it. Well, what is it? What is this? This is expressed in Philippians 2, the great hymn. He humbled Himself, becoming obedient even unto death, death on a cross. This act of love, this is what love looks like. No greater love is a man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus lays down His life for in obedience to God the Father, expressing fully with His entire life what the first commandment looks like, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That doesn't happen, friends. First, without the grace of God, obviously. But it doesn't happen without radical obedience. Obedience requires humility, to humble ourselves and to say, your will be done, not my will be done. And not your will be done begrudgingly and, okay, I have to do this to kind of, you know, get the fire insurance to make sure that I don't end up in the wrong place when I die. No, this is an offering of love. And this is what the Spirit is doing within us, friends. The Spirit is transforming fallen human hearts, sin-sick hearts. That's why Jesus said, or the prophets of the Old Testament, Jeremiah and Isaiah and others said, Ezekiel, the day's coming when God's going to give us, remove our hearts of stone, our heart of stone, and give us a heart of flesh. And he's going to wash us clean with the cleansing water of baptism. He's going to give us his Spirit to dwell in us as in a temple. In the busyness of life and all the things that everybody's preoccupied with, guess what? The most important, significant thing on the planet that's happening of the greatest value, of inestimable value, is this transformation I'm talking about right now. The work of Jesus Christ, the Lord of all power, glory, dominion, judgment, honor, all of it belongs to the Lord. All of creation was made for Jesus. All of it was made through him, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's restoring it all. That literally is the most important thing going on the planet. And it happens in every human heart that turns to him. And Jesus is pursuing every human being on the earth to bring us into this new creation. Friends, the only ultimate future is the new creation that is in the person of Jesus, that he's producing. This is why he united in his own body. He united heaven and earth in himself. This is why the Apostle John could say so beautifully in his first letter, what we've seen, what we've touched, what we've heard, we declare to you, the eternal life which was with the Father has appeared to us. Eternal life has been manifested. We didn't just have a fantastic prophetic teacher that we walk with for 3 years. We didn't just have the most loving and kindest man the world has ever seen or the wisest. We're talking about heaven and, you know, this eternal Son of God entering his own story and bringing heaven and earth together and in himself beginning the work of a new creation. And so the ultimate future of the human race, the only one that's going to last forever, is what Jesus is producing. And he's producing it through the mission and ministry of the church and its preaching and its sacrament. Yes, the weak, broken church that's under siege by the enemy and compromised in so many ways. But yes, it's happening in earthen vessels. This great treasure is making its way through history. And it's at the Eucharist that we remember who we are and we receive again and we declare and our minds get clear again. And together as a people in communion, we say, yes, 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 Lord. We give thanks. We believe. Lord, I believe. Do your work in us, Lord. So Jesus is teaching and convincing us, and the Holy Spirit is helping us see and understand and value things that are actually valuable, to see what Jesus sees, to feel what he feels, to value what he values most in the hierarchy of actual kingdom values. It's being communicated right there. And Jesus is saying, here's where the gold is. Here's the most meaningful life. In that hymn, not only does it touch on the central reality of the way forward for the human race is to humble ourselves, to bow down in obedience, radical surrender of our hearts in love to God. And it gets expressed in love of God and love of neighbor most radically. And also, it's rightly ordered love of self gets placed there. So here we are in a culture it's losing its center. It's going off the rails. It's self-production that's always been there and a part of the temptation of the human race to say, no, my will be done, the assertion of the human will. It's happening at such a high level and the defining of reality this way and that way and this way and that way, apart from the one true path, there's just hundreds, it seems like, thousands, a whirlwind, a constant swirling of more and more worldviews spinning out and people creating and things becoming more and more bizarre and people, the center's not holding and people are fraying and it's very disturbing what's going on. But friends, this is the result, and this is an expression. It's like the Tower of Babel in a way. It's a kind of madness that is unfolding more and more. It's always been present at various levels, but it seems to be present at a very high level. And people are very confused about who they are, why they're here, where we're going, what is the meaning of life, do we have any hope, what does the future look like, all of that. These kinds of things. And the church has to now, in this very confusing moment, gather around, bow down, bend the knee, and listen to Jesus. And the place where he most expresses to us what he wants to say and give us the grace to be able to respond to him is in the Eucharist. It's through that central place of how we worship that we learn who we are, and our way of life and our countercultural pattern of life needs to emerge from. So this is a way we can obey Paul's teaching in Colossians, for example, you know, lift your eyes to the heavens where your help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. That's the Psalms, but Paul said, set your mind on things above. That's one place to do it, a very concrete place. So when you see what's happening on the altar, when you hear, when we take in, we internalize together what Jesus is communicating to us, what he's done there, and we hear his word proclaimed, this is what it means to set your mind on Christ. And we will then come into, if we live it, we live on the promise of what Philippians 2 says as well, not only that he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, there's no limit to which he will live out and surrender to give to God what belongs to God. But he said that for this the Father has highly exalted Jesus and gave him the name above all names, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Lord. And we'll see it definitively when we die or when he comes again, but we know it now. And those who die in Christ and live in him and die in him and make it their whole life's aim to follow in his footsteps in the way that Paul's describing, we too, by God's grace, will be exalted. That means we'll share in the glory that belongs to Jesus. And it doesn't come from anywhere else, through anyone else. And this is the church's message of mercy and great hope to a world that lives without hope. Friends, there is no other hope. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not just, you know, the Catholic niche, the Catholic thing. No, this is reality itself. He's the Lord of the cosmos. It was all created for him, by him. And the Lord has come to make all things new. So let's embrace and walk in it at this time of challenge and difficulty. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.